It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Deborah Amos, in for Renee Montaigne. Now comes a real test in the fight against the Taliban. 1 year ago, Pakistan's army moved into the scenic Swat Valley. The army was acting against Taliban militants there.
And it ordered more than 2 million civilians out of the way. The real challenge of a fight against insurgents comes later, comes now, when civilians try to return to normal life. That's what NPR's Julie McCarthy has been watching in Swat.
A year after the Taliban forced women off the streets and dragooned young men into service, SWAT is rebuilding and mending its frayed social fabric. Widows and single mothers are literally weaving new lives. The clickety-clack of their wooden looms heralds a turning point. Today, the Karachi-based Heritage Foundation teaches these women, aged 16 to 71, skills to earn a living for the first time. Bare feet work the petals, calloused fingers coax the yarn into place to make the shawls meant to drape the tourists who have not yet returned to this fragile valley. There's relative peace, but not prosperity. Life is getting livelier, though. Dancers and singers declared un-Islamic by the Taliban are free to warble their pashtun songs and sad ballads. But nothing more powerfully conveys the sense of a new beginning for SWAT than the sight of young girls on the streets hauling heavy book bags. The Taliban destroyed or damaged hundreds of girls' schools in Swat Valley, wanton destruction that drained international attention on SWAT. A year after the militants were expelled from here, the schools they burned remain in ruins. The girls' spirits are another story. Eighty girls and boys, gazes fixed on their white-haired teacher, eagerly shout multiplication tables inside a large tent, one of a line that sits beside a shell of a building, their co-educational school destroyed in 2008. Headmaster Mohammed Tahir says this area of evergreen-covered hills suffered tremendously under the Taliban. With slow reconstruction, children continue to pay the price. You know, we're standing here in this class, in this tent. It is hot.
Yes.
This morning it was raining, which meant there was mud all over the place. And there's no desks. They're sitting on the floor.
Yes.
Yet they're shouting out their math. That's rather extraordinary.
Yes. Why not? Because they are trying. We are trying. Teachers trying. Students are trying.
How much longer will they be in tents?
The 1 year more.
This. Another year?
Yes, yes.
But the kids seem unfazed and uninterested in a summer break. No! You don't want vacation.
Many times they have been wasted due to the crisis, so they are in mood up to learn.
Yes.
The U.S. Agency for International Development says 170 schools were totally destroyed in Swat and surrounding areas, and American funds will rebuild 108 of them through local contractors. USAID Regional Director Ed Burkle says his agency plans a hotline with Transparency International in Pakistan to ensure that the $36 million the U.S. earmarked for Swat reconstruction is not squandered.
So that anybody becomes aware of anything that's been going on wrong here can call this hotline, and the information for this hotline will go directly to our Inspector General.
Initially, the Army did the bulk of rebuilding, repairing bridges, hospitals and roads, and setting up orphanages. An Army Jeep carries us on a bone-crunching ride over a riverbed into the area of Charbagh, 45 minutes outside Mingora, Swat's main city. The pristine landscape of open skies and steep green hills could be a postcard of Switzerland. A gleaming army bulldozer levels the ground for a huge park. Major Asif Riaz of the Army's Engineering Corps says the project is meant to soften the image of a place that had been a Taliban stronghold.
It's a valley. And it was a very hot area.
Hot in terms of militancy.
Militancy. So we want to curb that tendency that so many people, civilized people will come here, automatically that culture, that militancy, the terrorism, it will go off. That was the main idea.
The Army maintains a heavy presence in Swat a year after the conflict. While people are grateful for the defeat of the Taliban, their welcome for the soldiers may be wearing thin. In central Mingora, vendors hawk their wares while customers talk of daily life, just steps from the so-called Bloody Square, where the Taliban publicly executed their victims. Today, people complain about army security checkpoints and curfews. 65-year-old Shtamand points to a security tag on his tunic and says, life is not back to normal.
The life of the past is no more over here. And even after the evening, we are not allowed, you know, we just stay indoor. And if we don't carry even the security passes, we are not allowed to go to our house and pass through certain areas. They are tough with us because we are helpless.
Educator and activist Zia Uddin Yousafzai says the army's high profile is undermining the weak civilian government at a time when it needs strengthening. He says the army must wind up here as soon as possible.
This should be their target, to contract themselves, not to spread themselves, not to have roots in the society, and let the people do their job themselves. Let them have the confidence to rebuild their institutions.
But Major Mushtaq Khan, SWAT spokesman for the army, insists it's only filling a vacuum.
Army is doing a lot, and the army are doing it because the government has given them a duty that they should do it. And until and unless some funds which have been promised by the donor countries and those funds come, up till then, naturally, somebody has to do it.
The army dominating civilian affairs arouses suspicion in Pakistan, and as long as elected officials enter SWAT surrounded by armed guards, residents will not believe that proper peace has been restored.
Peace is never with a gun.
Musarat Ahmed Zeb is a member of the royal family that once ruled SWAT. Speaking from her garden in the Swati capital, Saidu Sharif, Ahmed Zeb says there was no option other than the army to get SWAT back up and running.
Beggars can't be choosers. The army is the only solution we have.
But the army has not been the solution for the estimated 10,000 homes, hotels, and shops destroyed by the insurgency and subsequent military offensive. The government promises to compensate residents $4,700 for each home destroyed and $1,800 for a damaged one, amounts that Swatis say barely cover the cost of clearing the debris. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.
We're also following the story of the American construction worker who was in Pakistan reportedly on a mission to kill Osama bin Laden. Gary Brooks Faulkner was detained last Sunday, you'll recall, in a forest in northern Pakistan. He was armed with a pistol, sword, and night vision equipment.
He said he was on his way to a remote Afghan region, Nuristan, where he believes bin Laden is hiding. Yesterday, U.S. embassy officials in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, met with Faulkner. The embassy declined to speculate on the legal fate of Faulkner. He's from Colorado, and he says that God ordered him to hunt down bin Laden.
Mr. Faulkner remains in Pakistani custody, but so far no charges have been filed.